Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Pleasure to see everybody. I just want to thank Mr. Zucker, Jeffrey Zucker, for sponsoring today's class in observance of the Yortzeit for his mother, Edith Zucker, Ita Bat Shalom. The Yortzeit is this Sunday, and I've always a pleasure. And Mr. Zucker lives just down the highway in Hamilton, about a 50-minute drive from Toronto, and really a pleasure to have you. And I love all your questions all the time. So, you know, that's great. Okay. Let's get started. So last week we discussed why we're supposed to start davening with the mitzvah to love your neighbor as yourself, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And then I went over the five parts of Shachrit. We're sort of beginning Birchat HaShachar now, and we discussed the tension between the Siddur as a Siddur, as an organized prayer book, and Tfilah, which is sort of a spontaneous, free-flowing thing. Those are some of the topics we discussed. And then we mentioned Moda Ani. We begin the day on gratitude. I don't think I mentioned that. Maybe I did mention the second sin of man, right, is the lack of gratitude in blaming, you know, Chava for eating the fruit. You know, that's Moda Ani. The gratitude is at the basic of everything we do in Judaism, and therefore it's the first thing we say in the morning. And then we started to doing the bracha of Asher Yatzar. So I just have a couple more points. We'll finish Asher Yatzar, and then today hopefully we'll discuss mainly Birchat HaTorah. But before we do that, I just like to have done sort of the past couple of weeks, the first week that was all I did, sort of give a broad overview of certain aspects of Tfilah that apply to everything. So I'm gonna share my screen for a moment, and I'm gonna take a look at the Mishnah. That will do. This is a Mishnah in Masechet Brachot. Masechet Brachot is where we have Shema, Brachot, and Tfilah. The laws of Tfilah begin in the fifth chapter. If I can find it here. Okay, Mishnah Brachot. So everybody can see? The brachas, this is the opening Mishnah of the fifth chapter in Masechet Brachot. Ein omdim lipalel ala mitoch kovod rosh. You can't stand. Remember, we discussed the only real form of prayer is Amidah. Everything else is preparatory. There may be important, praising God, accepting God as we do in the Shema, but prayer, asking God for our needs, there's only one prayer, and that's the Amidah. And therefore, it says, Ein Omdim, and it has to be said when you're standing, unless there are extenuating circumstances. Ein Omdim Lipalel, Ela Mitoch Kovod Rosh. So how do you translate Kovod Rosh? I have the English here. Right? How do they translate it? Gravity. Okay, it's not a heavy head. Kovod Rosh means, it literally means a heavy head. In other words, if your head is heavy, you have to, you know, look down. You've got like pressure on your head. There is a notion sort of we should be very humble when we daven, we're standing before God. So there is this notion of sort of looking down. We don't sort of pray like looking up into the sky. That's why there is a, now is not the time to discuss the issue about halachically davening outside, but the Gemara has discussions about that. Is it appropriate? You know, you're looking at the beautiful trees. I davened for over a year in my in-law's backyard. There was a backyard, beautiful. I mean, the winter not so beautiful, but in the summer and in the spring and in the fall, beautiful. You concentrate more on the leaves than you do sometimes on the prayer. So you have to daven with Kovod Rosh, literally, in a sense, a heavy head looking down, but it means a sense of seriousness. The opposite of Kalut Rosh. Kalut Rosh means frivolity. You know, Kalut Rosh, you're in a lightheadedness. Okay. Chassidim Arishonim, this I think is a little bit well known. Hayu Shohim Shachar Mipalalim. They used to prepare for an hour. And I find it astounding. I would assume Sha'achad doesn't mean an hour. It means a few moments. Sha'a is a measure of time. There are commentaries. I don't know. Obviously, nobody knows for sure. I don't, but there are commentaries who say a sha'a means like 60 minutes. So, that's a lot of time. Cause if you daven three times a day, and here the Mishnah doesn't say, but the Gemara says they used to prepare for an hour. They used to daven for an hour and they used to recover for an hour, like post-mortem on how the davening went. You don't just leave davening. You sort of slowly, like we take three steps back from the Amidah. You know, we slow. So that would be 3 hours times three, 9 hours a day. It's a little bit strange. I find that I can't believe that is literal, but maybe there were people like that, because the Gemara does later, earlier to this, quote the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that halavai yipalel adam kol yom kulo. We mentioned that, it would be wonderful if people could pray all day. That's not the accepted opinion. We say, no, that's not good. Don't pray more than three times a day. Prayer, there are other things to do with your life. Prayer, it's enough, but there is that opinion. Anyways, kadeshi echnav nuat libam lemakom. They would be in a mood. They would meditate to get prepared. Afilu hamelech shoal bishlomo lo yishavenu. Even if a king asked, how are you doing? Don't answer the king. Afilu nachash karoch al akevo. And even if you've got a snake wrapped around your heel, akev, you know, your heel, lo yafsik. And when you're in Shema, there's a, here, I'll stop the share screen. You know, the halacha is that in Shema, you're allowed, and I would say obligated, to interrupt. There are rules if you're in the middle of the paragraph or in between paragraph, and exactly who comes into shul. Is it somebody you have to honor or fear, or just a regular person? Are you initiating the conversation, ending the conversation? Those are all technical details, which for now are not important. But the idea is that in Shema, we interrupt the Shema. If somebody walks into shul and says hello, you answer them, even in the middle of Shema. Sometimes people don't know this, and people, I don't know, but greeting people is really, really important. And it's more important than saying Shema on some level. So the idea that we'll read next week in Parshat HaShavua, that Avraham Avinu is welcoming, is talking to God. God appears to him after the Brit Milah, and he sees three guests and says, God, I'm sorry, I can talk to you later. I got to worry about these three people wandering in the desert. So that's by Shema also. Shmon Esrei, Mishnah says you're not allowed to stop at all. No, even if the king asked for you how you're doing, a melech shoal bishlomo or a snake. Now, what's the problem with that Mishnah? Anybody wanna let me know? Why is that Mishnah problematic?
Is the snake poisonous?
The snake poisonous. So that's the question. So so the bartender says, right, it can't be a poisonous snake. Some people, I believe, I have to look a little further, do believe that you're supposed to ignore the snake. You don't know. But the common opinion is, if it's accepted opinion, if it's dangerous, then not. And the king, so they say same thing, only a Jewish king. Because a Jewish king will understand. A non-Jewish king will chop your head off if you don't say hello. So obviously not. But those are important details. But the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention them, I think, are more important. In other words, the Mishnah is saying when you're involved in prayer, you have to be so focused. I would put it slightly differently. It's not that you don't answer the king or you don't get rid of the snake. It's you don't notice the king and the snake. You know, we all know that if you're so involved in something, you know, something can happen and you're totally oblivious to what happened. You're so focused on what you're doing. I don't know that that's the actual meaning of the Mishnah, but I think that's the idea behind the Mishnah, that when you're davening, you shouldn't even notice if the king is saying hello to you. That's why that Jewish king, non-Jewish king, your life is in danger. You don't know. Practically speaking, those are important questions, but the Mishnah is teaching the intensity, and maybe that's why you need an hour to warm up for that, and maybe not. And it's only the Hasidim Harishonim, only the most pious. It's not for me, maybe for you, but it's not for regular people. We're not Hasidim Harishonim. But I think that's just sort of a nice, the idea of Kavanah and prayer and preparation. We run into prayer, you know, I come to shul a few minutes late, and I told you the first week, I didn't remember if I said, you know, Mashi Veruach Amorid Geshem. Simchas Torah ended on Wednesday, Thursday morning at Shachrit. I'm finished one answer. I said, I don't know if I said Mashi Veruach Amorid Geshem. So my son told me, he said, I have to quote the name of Rav Bazak, the one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Yeshivat Haaretz Yon, said that Rav Bazak was once talking. He said, you know, you're saying, Uvisharecha, and you don't know, was that the first paragraph of the Shema or the second paragraph of the Shema? That's, you know, so that's new. Mashi Veruach is one thing. But anyway, so it's hard. As we've discussed many times, davening is very hard. But that's just sort of to frame the idea of Kovarish. I do want to point out the idea of the snake, right? The Mishnah says, Apilu nachash karoch al akavo. Even if the snake is wrapped around your heel, you do not stop. So just let's take a quick look at, obviously, whenever we think of the snake, so it reminds us of Gan Eden. So I haven't fully fleshed out what the parallel is exactly. Maybe you can help me. But we'll go here So here, this is Vayomer Hashem Elohim El Hanachash. You know, God gets angry at the. It's true, Adam and Chava shouldn't have eaten, but the Nachash also has to be punished. Of course, the famous punishment, Agachoncha Telech Afar Tochal. Right? Everybody asks, what's the punishment? He's got food wherever he goes. So problem is, he doesn't have to put in any effort. That's for another time. But the punishment of the Nachash is he eats dirt. That's great. If I can eat dirt, you don't have any problems with hunger. No problem. All the problems with the food we have in the world and in Africa, that all goes away if we could eat the earth. So why is that the punishment? That's a great thing. The punishment is you want to eat dirt, but it means he doesn't have to work at all. It's there's something good not to have everything given to you on a silver platter. We have to work. But anyways, that's not for now. And then the mission says, Vayvasid, I'm going to put like tension between the snake and the woman. And it's interesting, the question, Vatat Teshufenu Akev, this notion Akev, and I don't know, I think the Mishnah is picking up on this expression, that here, they try and you shall strike at their heel, Atat Teshufenu Akev. The snake is what tries to prevent man's relationship with God. That's what the snake did in the Garden of Eden. And in the snake tried, God had developing a relationship, and the snake succeeded. Because what happened, we were kicked out of Gan Eden. So the snake is a symbol. It's not just that we ate. It's destroying our relationship with God. The Akev, Atat Teshufenu Akev. And the Mishnah picks up, what's Tefillah? Tefillah is all about reestablishing our relationship with God. Spending an hour to ignoring everything going on in the world to totally focus. I don't know about you. I would say the one time a year, you know, I can maybe a little bit approach this is, please God, hopefully on Yom Kippur. I always know when Yom Kippur ends, I don't like to turn on the radio right away or to look at the newspaper. You know, let me live in the world, away from the world a little bit. Let me live in the world of angels still for a few more hours. I want to eat a little bit, you know, it's, you're on a certain high. That's what the Mishnah is saying. The Hasidim Rishonim managed to do that every single day but it's, I think the connection to the snake is very good. So on the one hand, it's the king, the highest of, you know, the king. Wow. And the other hand, the snake from the high to the low, no matter what, nothing interrupt. But I think the reference to the snake is taking us back to Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, mixing Hebrew and English, the Garden of Eden and the Akev and picking up on the word. Okay, if anybody has any questions or comments, if you didn't like that, that's fine. You can tell me. But if you have other ideas, but somehow that's what came into my mind when I saw that expression with the heel. Okay, now let's open up our sitter again, if everybody has a sitter, and if not, it's okay. I'm sure you have one anyways, you can go get. Okay, we were discussing last week Asher Yatzar, the bracha of the washroom. So let me just share my screen for one more minute. I did mention, it's very interesting. I think it's interesting. We don't do this first half. So the Mishnah says, not the Mishnah. Why can't I do this? Okay, yeah, all right. Where am I going here? Yeah, here. The Mishnah, the Gemara says in Brachot, Hanichnas lebeit hakisei. When you enter into the bathroom, hikabdu mechubadim kedoshim mishartei al yon tnu kavod Elohei Yisrael. When you enter the bathroom, before you enter, remember going to the bathroom in the ancient world, like it was an outhouse. What's it in your house? What was in the papers last week? They discovered in Jerusalem, right there. Did everybody see that? An archaeological a flush toilets with a septic tank in some very, very wealthy house in Old Jerusalem. Because only the billionaires could have plumbing. You know, where are the equivalent of the ancient billionaires? Hikavdu mechabdim kedoshim mishartei elyon. Here, give be honored, holy ones, servants of the one on high, give honor to the. It's a very interesting language. Like you talk, I mean, it's sort of the opposite of kiddusha in a sense, right? That's what we think of it. But we know kiddusha is always elevating of the body, using the body in the service of God. That's what kiddusha always means in Judaism. Kiddusha doesn't mean prayer. That's ahava. We mentioned the first week, the Rambam puts the laws of prayer in Sefer Ahava, the book of love. He puts the laws of kashrut and sexuality in kiddusha, in the book of holiness, the elevation of the physical. So the Gemara says, okay, different versions. And then the bracha says, ki nafik, when you leave the bathroom, Baruch Asher, notice here the Gemara doesn't have Shem Umalchut. Doesn't have, when we say Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Atah Hashem, it's Baruch. We say that sometimes in certain brachot. We say, I can't think offhand, Baruch Hei Olamim. You know, we don't say Atah Hashem. So notice in the Gemara, it's missing God's name. Okay. Baruch Atah Sher Yetzaratam B'chakma, Rom Nekavim Nekavim, Chalulim Chalulim. Here it's Chalulim Chalulim. We have Chalulim Chalulim. Galui B'yadu, it's known before your honor chair. Shimi Fatecha Kamemo Setemechem Iv Sharlam Ozapanecha. And my Chatim, how do you end? Amarav Rofei Cholim. You should end Rofei Cholim. The Gemara doesn't say if you say that with Baruch Atah Hashem, doesn't say that, or you just say Baruch Rofei Cholim. And Shmuel says, Kashave Avla Kule Alma Kitzire. We're not all sick. Going to the bathroom is healthy. Why Rofei Cholim? That's not going to the bathroom isn't a sign that God has healed you because you're sick. Ela Rofei Kol Basar. We say God heals our body or everybody. Rav Sheshen Mar Fli Lasot. Wow, it's wondrous. Our body is so wondrous. It's like, you know, William Shatner went into space. I was not a Star Trek fan. I don't think I've ever watched an episode of Star Trek, but I even forgot his name, but I was listening on the radio and say Captain Kirk went into space yesterday. So I saw, I was crying. It's very emotional. It's very unbelievable. You know, you go into space and you see puny little Earth and he wasn't even in space. I don't know the whole thing. He left Earth, but it's not in outer space, whatever. Mafli lasot. It's wondrous. So for Jews, the fact that our body, the fact that we can go to the bathroom is mafli lasot. Wow. God created us in such an amazing way. And to be wondering, it's very hard to think like that every time you go to the bathroom. But that's the idea. Wake up in the morning. We say the wonders of creation. It's a miracle. And Rav Papa said, let's say it all. Rofei kol basar umafli lasot. And of course, that's what we do. That's what we do. Okay. So I did mention that it's what we call a birchat hashabach. A birchat hashabach, there are three types of brachot. Birchat hananin, brachas on food, borei preitz, on getting pleasure, deriving benefit from this world, mainly food. Or on smell, also borei minei bisamin. It's also birchat hananin, where we're enjoying God's world. Then there's birchat hamitzvah, as we discussed, asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav, you light candles tonight. And then there's birchat hashabach, brachot praise, which I said are always longer. They tell a story. It's not just borei preitz. Asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav lehadlik ner. It tells a story. Asher yetzarat adam b'chachma. And it's, and Jeremy said after the fact. We praise not before. Normally brachot are made before, but a birchat hashabach is made afterwards. So when else? Who wants to, I don't think I discussed this part. I think this is sort of where I left off. What other areas do we say a bracha after we do something? Normally, 99% of the time, the bracha is before. When do we say a bracha after?
Nilat the candles
Friday night. Well, we light the candles Friday night. So we don't. Okay, so that's very interesting. That's why you go like this. That's the whole shtick. So you're supposed to light the candles. You're supposed to make the bracha before you light the candles. However, if you light the candles, it's Shabbos race. That's not really true. It's not really true. Really, what do you mean? You make the bracha. It's Shabbos already. It's not like you made the bracha. Obviously, you're making the bracha to light the candles. You're not accepting Shabbos till you light the candles. That's obvious. But somehow this notion developed that no, the woman, maybe, I don't know. I really have to check, but maybe the women were a little ignorant and they thought when they made the blessing, they had their mind to accept Shabbos. So the halacha was sort of all concerned about this, how she can't light, make the bracha first. But you have to make the bracha first. So they developed a trick. That's how the commentaries explain. They develop a trick. The woman lights the candles and she goes like this, makes the bracha, and then presto, I make the bracha and the candles lit on their own. Open your eyes. So that's the origin. Now, of course, we take that's an opportunity to pray and it's an opportunity to meditate. Very beautiful. But the reason we do that is because you really, the bracha is supposed to be made before. But okay, yes, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, but where do we say a bracha after? Mr. Zucker. I'm sorry?
Benching.
So, benching. Ah, very good. Benching is, that's an excellent thing. It's a totally exception. That's because benching is the only blessing that is mandated in the Torah. So that is a totally different blessing, but you're right. Because But we do by benchmark, and it is. It's a birchat hashavach. It is. That's exactly the point. It's a bracha of gratitude. It's not, we say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz when we're about to eat. That's birchat hanani. And then we say a long benching. Whoa, that's really, really long. Three brachot, four brachot, right? Hazanat hakol, al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazon. We gave a whole long concept, right? So birchat ha'mazon, birchat hashavach. Yes, Susan, what else?
About thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning, correct. Yes, birchat hashevach, right? Although that is true, but you couldn't really say it before because you don't know when it's going to come. Like I can't, that's halacha, I think. You know, you go to a tap of water, maybe you fill up the water first and then make the bracha. I don't think you're supposed to make the bracha because you don't know. I mean, I guess we do know, but it's not going to be there. We don't know when lightning's going to be, but correct. We assume that is a birchat hashevach tu osem aseh bereshit. God created the wonderful world, right? It's interesting. These are all great examples. It's not the ones I was thinking of, which is exactly why it's good to ask everybody else. Yes. I'm sorry.
Mitzvah.
I didn't hear what you said.
Mikvah.
That's also for the same technical reason. I think of birchat, lighting the candles on the shul. Now, I don't even know 100% what we're doing the mikvah. They make the bracha, they dip once, and then they make the bracha. I don't even know exactly. Obviously, it's but also there, it's have the same idea to make the bracha before the entry. The woman is naked, whatever, different things. So I'm not, but that's the same issue. It really is should be done before.
Okay.
Netilat
Yadayim is hold on a second. Netilat Yadayim is because really it should also done before, but since we're going to wash our hands, maybe our hands are dirty. Why don't we just wait till we wash our hands and then make the bracha? So even Netilat Yadayim, we do it that way, and that's why the halacha is you're supposed to make the bracha before you dry your hands. Because it's a little, that's sort of a little bit before also. But good, excellent. That's a great example.
About new clothing? New clothing?
New clothing? Nah, I don't know. I have to think about that. I mean, we today don't really make the bracha that's a whole discussion. I have to check that in. Do you make it when you buy it, before you put it on, after you put it on? I don't even know. Or do you make a shecheni, you include it? Yeah. Today, as you can tell, I don't make that bracha so often. I guess if you get a made for measure suit every 5 years, then you would probably make the bracha. The assumption is today we get new shirts. We throw in the garbage every 2 months. Like, it's not such a big deal, but, we can sort of incorporate into Matir Malbisharim. In general, we like to limit. It's a funny thing. We like to limit the amount of a brachot. So the technical details when that is said, but I don't know that that's really said afterwards, but I have to check. Thank you. Okay.
Almost.
That's it. Okay. I want to move on a little bit. I always have a discussion. Okay. Yes. Hallel. I was thinking of Hallel. The ones I wrote down in my notes. But our Megillah, our Mikra Megillah, and that's of course the whole Megillah is a form of Hallel. That's one of the reasons the Gemara says we do not say Hallel on Purim. Gemara has three reasons, but one of the three reasons we don't say Hallel, we do say Hallel. The words are different. Hallel means to praise God. The fact that they chose from David HaMelech 1:13 to 1:19 in Tehillim, it didn't have to be that way. We say on Shabbos 1:26, Hodu Lashem Kitov. So there are different forms of Hallel. Hallel HaMitzri, Hallel Gadol. Hallel can be anything. The rabbi chose these chapters. So Hallel on Purim is Vayihi, Me'ach HaShverosh, Oy. The Jewish people were saved. That's Hallel. So that's and those of course are songs of praise. That's what Hallel means. So that's why we have a bracha afterwards. Now, I'm sorry,
Gairus.
Mr. Zucker, yes,
coming out of the mikvah.
We discussed the mikvah already. No, the one I was thinking of, the most common one, of course, is an aliyah to the Torah. Oh. Now we're going to discuss that right now in Birchat HaTorah. We say every morning, and by the way, see, you know, so we say Asher Bachar Banim Kol Amim V'Natalanu when you first get an aliyah, and then after you finish an aliyah, you say Asher Natalanu Torah Amen. Yeah, if you want to mute yourself, please. If that's not included in Birchat HaTorah, right? That's second bracha. But when we have an aliyah, we do make a bracha. And that's really, the first bracha is really Birchat HaMitzvah, the mitzvah to study Torah. Why do we read Torah in shul? It's not part of davening, right? We are, davening is Amidah, right? Everything else. Kriyat HaTorah is totally different. It's very important, but Kriyat HaTorah is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there is a private mitzvah, just like there's private tefillah and public tefillah. There's private Torah and a public Torah. So Kriyat HaTorah is a public reading of Torah. So there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. You learn Torah when you study. But then we read part of the Torah. We say we thank God that he gave us the Torah. We thank God he made the covenant. Rav Soloveitchik has a very beautiful explanation or what Kriyat HaTorah in public means. You know, the Maharam of Rutenberg, that was the last of the Balei HaTosafot. That was the one we spoke about him, I think. He was the one who got arrested. It was hostage diplomacy. And the Jewish community wouldn't allow the Jewish community to pay the ransom. He dies in 1293. The last of the Balei HaTosafot. So the Maharam of Rutenberg, introduced a lot of things that he introduced putting a mezuzah in the shul. He introduced, by the way, not having the woman as a sandik. The old practice, Danny Sperber has a whole article in his book, Minagei Israel. The old practice was the mother would be the sandik very often at her child's bris. The mother would be the sandik. And the Maharam of Rutenberg stopped that practice. He didn't feel it was appropriate. They used to do the bris in shul, knew the woman to come into the main section of shul, the Aron Kodesh. So yeah, it's a different world. Anyway, but he said to put a mezuzah on our door. So the Maharam of Rutenberg suggests, he was a great, listen, one of the great of our people. And he said you should stand in Kriyat HaTorah. His minag was to stand. I've often pointed out, if you go to a shul and the rabbi is not standing, it's forbidden for you to stand. It's a nice thing to stand. You're not allowed to be firmer than your rabbi. That's a good. Go to a different shul. If your rabbi is not, quote unquote, religious enough, that's, of course, a ridiculous thing to say, that he's not religious enough because he's not standing. But you know how people think. You're never allowed to do anything that is going to, it's not honor to the rabbi. I'm more religious than the rabbi. You know, when I served as a rabbi of a shul for 9 years, I don't know, I had the minhag. I used to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. I don't know if it's because I was, whatever, if I don't do that anymore, but a couple of times when I was still standing and I daven, let's say at my sister's shul, there the rabbi didn't stand, so I can't stand. It's not appropriate. But okay, that's just an aside. It's an important aside. Don't ever show up your rabbi, or if you have a woman rabbi, don't show her up either. Whatever, whoever's your leader, don't show them up. That's inappropriate. So the Maharam of Rutenberg said one should stand. So Rav Soloveitchik develops this beautiful idea that when we sit in Kriyat HaTorah, basically what are we doing? We are learning Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When we stand in Kriyat HaTorah, we're reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. There's a reenactment. It's we're re-giving the Torah. It's a whole different thing. The Jewish people, that's the difference between standing and sitting. But when we say the bracha, what we say every morning in Brachat HaTorah, Sher Brachar Banu, we say when you have an aliyah, then when you finish the aliyah, you say a birchat, that's on learning Torah, then you say birchat HaShevach. So, okay, let's go through birchat HaTorah, and let me share my screen, I think, one last time today. And then we'll discuss, where's my share screen button? Here we go. Okay, desktop. Okay, Brachot 11. So first of all, you have a fascinating discussion in the Gemara. This is 11b, if you can see in Brachot. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. This is the third generation. You know, Shmuel is the first generation after the Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel, the first generation of Amoraim, right after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Hishkim lishnot, you get up in the morning, you're going to learn. Ad shelo kara kriyat shema. If you're learning before you go to shul, you haven't said shema, tzarik levarech. So you have to make a blessing on the Torah. Misha kara kriyat shema. But if you daven first, if you said shema, and you're only going to learn after davening, not before. You don't go to Daf Yomi before. You go after davening. Eino tzarich levarach. You don't have to make a blessing on the Torah. Shekvar niftar ba'avah rabah. When we say the blessing before Shema Avarava, the Tembeli Beinu Lahavin Lahasku Lishmo Lamod Lamei Lishmor V'Lasod the Kayeme Kol the Rei Tamud Toratecha Biava. Wow, that's Birchat HaTorah. We're praising God. We're thanking God for Torah. So Avarava is good enough. You don't say Birchat HaTorah. Now we don't. Obviously, you know, we don't do this exactly, although it is true. If you didn't say Birchat HaTorah and you said Avarava, you wouldn't go back to say Birchat HaTorah. But okay, now the Gemara has a fascinating discussion. Amar Rav Huna, the next generation, L'mikra tzarik levarech. I only have to make a blessing if I study Tanakh, the text of the Torah. Mikra is the Tanakh. L'midrash, that Avram smashed the idols, the midrashim, eino tzarik levarech. That's it's Torah, but it's not the same level of Torah. If God didn't put it in the Bible, it's not the same thing. The Bible, that's God's word. I'm making a blessing on what God gave us. God gave us Mikra. He didn't give us Midrash. We interpreted. We read between the lines and we interpreted Midrash. Don't make Birchat HaTorah on that. Rav Elazar say no. L'mikra v'l'midrash tzarich l'varach. No. You have to make a bracha midrash. That's interpretation is more important than the text. It's richer. It gives us much more. L'mikra u'l'midrash tzarich l'varach. L'mishnah me'em etar korei teshma. Mishnah. Yeah. You don't have to make a bracha. That's a complete rabbinic invention. You don't have to make bracha. Rav Yochanan af l'mishnah tzarich l'varach. What do you mean? The mishnah is the oral law. It's what God gave us. The fact that it wasn't written down. Who cares? Af l'mishnah nami tzarich l'varach. Aval l'talmud. Talmud is the argument. You say, hey, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing. Did you light Hanukkah candles 1 day, 8 days? All right, that's already, that's us. That's not the oral law that God gave us. That's our, so Talmud, you don't break. Now, it's very interesting. It doesn't necessarily mean this, but one of the ways of interpreting the Gemara is, what's the most important thing when you learn? So not necessarily, but you could say Mikra is the most important, Midrash, then how you derive the Pesukim, which is historically what happened. The Mishnayot were based on Midrash. We have Midrash Agadah, Midrash Halacha. Avram smashing the idols, that's Agadah. But they have all the Midrashei Halacha, where the Gemara derives laws from the Pesukim, and that then, the many Midrashim got sort of codified into the Mishnah, sort of a lower level, and Talmud is debating, how did the Mishnah know this? Okay, that's those are details. That's not important. We today assume Talmud is the most important, or that's the way Jewish learning has developed. And that's what we do. V'rav amar, af the Talmud, tzarich levarech. And that's what we do. We break a bracha. So, he brings proof. He was used to be in front of Rav, and he used to learn the Sifra, and he would wash his hands and he would bench. Okay. My mevarach, what's the bracha? So then you look in your siddur, compare Amar Shmuel, same Amar reviewed Amar Shmuel. Asher kitshanu mizudav v'tzivanu lasok v'torah. So here, even though he doesn't say it, it's Baruch Atah Hashem. In Asher Yatzar, it said Baruch, and it left out Atah Hashem. So that is the difference. That's why I said over there, the Gemara seems to be missing Hashem Elokeinu Atah Hashem. But here, the Gemara just skips the whole half means, of course, you say it. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, what that means, I hope. Rav Yochanan Messiah Bahachi. So that's all they said. Rav Yochanan adds, and there's a whole debate. Is this an addition? It seems like he's adding. Harev na Hashem Elokeinu. Make the Torah sweet. Beautiful, sweet. At the Torah Torah Chabefinu, in our mouths, and the Tiyotam Chabet Israel, in the mouths of the Jewish people. It's not just about us learning, it's about the entire Jewish people. Yeah, Nachnu, B'tzeitzainu, our children, B'tzeitzainu. Chabet Yo. Hold on, you want to mute yourself, please? Kulani Odei Shemecha, V'oskei Torah Techa. We don't have Oskei Torah Techa, we have Lomdei Torah Techa. Baruch Atah Hashem Olmei Torah Lamo Yisrael. Rav Hamanuna Amar, Asher Brachar Banu Mikol Amim Natan Lanu At Torah Tov, Baruch Atah Hashem Noteinat Torah. That's the third bracha. That's what we say. That's a different opinion. Rav Hamanuna is, in other words, the first opinion is to say Asher Kitshanu Mitzvah Bitzivanu Lasok with Torah. Rav Yochanan says, don't just say that. Say one plus Harevna. So it's you have sort of two opinions: just Lasok B'Divrei Torah and V'Harevna. And Rav Hanuna says, Asher Brachar Banu, that's the only one you say, like when we have an aliyah to the Torah. What's the Torah? God chose us from among the nations. He gave us this beautiful gift of Torah. Amar Rav Hanuna, Zohu Mulash of Brachot. It's interesting. He's commenting on his own opinion. This is the best of the Brachot. Ah, Asher Brachar Banu, V'natan Lanu, after Torah, that's the best of Brachot. Hilkach Nemreinu Lekulhu, the same idea we have by Asher Yatzar. We'll say all of them. Let's say all of them. It's very unusual. Those who remember, those who have phenomenal memories, and I actually went back and I listened to it last week, Dr. Benny Gesundheit, who gave, you know, the 30-part series on Tehillim. So the first year he gave for us on Zoom was on Birchat HaTorah, before Shavuos in 2020. So he talked about this Gemara. What exactly, why each one said their opinions. Really, it's a fascinating shir. Who Rav HaMenuna was, who Rav Huna was, and who Shmuel was, and he compared their Birchat HaTorah to what they actually, other opinions they say, which seem to go together with what their style of the brachot, but he discusses, there we're going to say all of them. It's a very unusual idea. Usually there's a debate. We don't do all of them. We pick an opinion, but here, Birchat HaTorah, we do all of them, and maybe as we go through the bracha, we'll see why we say all of them, what each one's at. So just let's spend a few minutes on that. Okay, so the first bracha, and then having your sitter, Shirki Shana B'mitzvotah B'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. So what does the word La'asok mean? Anybody? Lasok. Yes, somebody's got to know. I'm sorry.
Work on it. To work on it.
Deal with.
I'm sorry?
Deal with.
Engross. So it's right. So good. I mean, it's a little, you know, nobody knows exactly how to. Oh, it went upside down. It's interesting when you do that page. Okay. Lasok, to be engaged, to be engrossed. I always like to, the modern word for business is asek. Lasok b'divrei Torah. That, your approach to Torah should be like a businessman. Now, sometimes we say that's very negative. Torah isn't a business. But I think what it means like this, a businessman never has enough money. Jeff Bezos doesn't say, you know, we got $250 billion. Amazon is 94% of the market, whatever they have there. Who can compete with Amazon? And that's enough. Let other people. That was the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim closed his store, so other people, I don't need to make so much money, but that's why he's the Chafetz Chaim. And, we don't even have to, that's not required. What the Chafetz Chaim did, the story, I don't know if it's true, like I say, but they don't tell stories like that about me. You know, the Chafetz Chaim owned, he didn't want to take any money. Our great Torah sages never wanted to take any money for their learning Torah. The Rambam was so against it. So they all had other jobs. So we have to make a living. So he made a living. He opened up a store. So knew the Chafetz Chaim, everybody came to his store. They wanted to support him. So he opened the store. He said, there are other people. I don't want to take away business from other people. So I'm only going to my store 2 hours a day. So everybody shopped during those 2 hours a day. So he closed the store. Close the store. What can you do? And he sold his books. He made money. He sold his books. That's how the Chafetz Chaim, as far as I know. The Chafetz Chaim lived extremely poorly. There's a famous story, and I forget, went to visit him, and he said, rickety furniture, and living like, you know. And they said it was a wealthy businessman. And he said, I'll buy you furniture. I'll buy you a nice couch and this. And the Chafetz Chaim said, no, he says, tell me, you're traveling now. Do you have all your fancy furniture and your china? He says, no, I'm traveling. I don't, when I get home. So Chafetz Chaim said, I'm traveling in Olam Hazeh. When I get to home in Olam Haba, then I can have it. No, I don't think we should even aspire to that. It's not, I don't desire to aspire to that. It's not, it's a different planet. He lived on the Chafetz, that's okay, whatever. Anyways, so, but a businessman never has enough. You always want more. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. It can't, if it's taken to an extreme, but that's the way Torah has to be, that I never have enough Torah. I always want more. Now, La'asok, so it's very interesting. Some commentaries point out it comes in the word, hit asku imo. That's, I think, when Yitzchak dug the wells. We'll read it in a couple of weeks. Vayarivu roeik, or, he moved ki hit asku imo. They fought with him. They confronted him. So, Torah, in other words, Torah is to confront Torah. We debate Torah. We argue about Torah. It's the, what we call milchamta shel Torah. It's the war of Torah. We argue a lot about Torah. So la'asok, right? We never accept anything. I explained a long time ago, and really one of the Divrei Torah I got the most comments on. You know, I get the one out of 1,000 people send me a comment usually when I rated Divrei Torah. That's actually pretty good, 1 in 1,000. But this one I got a fair bit. It was really a the Rav's beautiful idea we've explained before, the difference between learning and prayer. I didn't explain it the first week because I had explained it in my Pirkei Avot class, but very briefly, you know, only a child can daven. Only, we'll get to Sinchayis, or only a child can daven, because it means dependence, and I have to be humble, as we just discussed, and it means I'm needy, arrogant person, an adult. A child knows they're totally dependent on their parents. In order to daven, you have to have the mindset of a child. In order to learn, you have to have the mindset of an adult. Can't be submissive. You can't accept. You argue. You fight. You analyze. We don't analyze our prayer. God help us, right? But when we learn, it's a totally different approach. We don't accept anything. And I remember Rav Soloveitchik, I hearing him on tape saying, "How do you know this?" My Rebbe said. So what do you mean? That's no answer. If you don't understand it yourself, it's meaningless. We challenge. Well, everybody knows. You learn Gemara. Who cares? We don't have any respect for anybody. We respect them, but we don't have respect for their views. You're allowed to argue with anybody. It's a problem we have today. A lot of our learning today is very much, we don't encourage challenging and questioning and, you know, but that's the whole approach of Torah, la'asok, to be engaged and in the, Torah, you know, the give and take of Torah. So that's, you got to be engaged. And that's why the commentaries say this bracha is a reference to the oral Torah. Asher bracha arbanu mikol amim, that third bracha of Rav HaMenuna, that's the written Torah. Asher v'natan lanu et Torah to, God gave us the Torah. That's the written Torah. And it's fascinating that, it's fascinating that the, we put the bracha for the oral Torah, la'asok, debate, discussion, before God giving us Torah. Obviously, the written Torah happened first, but the Gemara is the authors of the Siddur, or the Gemara, is telling us that the oral law is much more important. The written law, you can become a Christian. I don't mean that in a negative sense, but in other words, what makes Jews Jews is the oral law. The Christians accept the Old Testament, but they don't accept the oral law. We don't follow what it says in the Torah. I mean, left and right. When we have a shir, other people have spoken, and we have a shir on Parshanut. Why if the Torah says an eye for an eye, don't we do an eye for an eye? That happens 8,000 times. We don't follow what it says in the Torah literally. We follow just the oral interpretation. Mimacharat HaShabbat, the day after Shabbat. And it's weird. Oh, it's Shabbat, it's Pesach. What do you mean Shabbat is Pesach? So Shabbat is Shabbat, but we're a religion based on the oral law. So even though the written law is first, Asher Bracha Arbanu Mikol Amim V'Natan Lanu, the bracha we say first is the bracha of La'asok, to be engaged, to look for new ways, new analysis, new business ventures. I want to open up a new company, you know, a parent, a subsidiary, and I want to expand. That should be our approach. And that's the Oral Torah. It's the Yam Shel Tamud, we call it, to see the ever expanding, place of Torah. Now, then we say this bracha too, and that's, is it an addition or not? That's, I don't know. I assume somebody tell me if not. I assume everybody's sitter has a vav, vaharevna, because some people say it says harevna. In other words, vaharevna, and it's a continuation. Does anybody's sitter not have a vav? I'm just curious, because that was a debate, whether there should be a vav between a shirk and shamitah. It's not, in other words, is it ad, or is it a new bracha? It doesn't really matter, but I'm just curious. You can let me know. Okay, so let's start. Harevna Hashem. So this is the bracha that Torah should be, to pass to our children, Mephino. So the first word, of course, harev means what? What does harev mean? How do they translate? Sweet, right? Yes. It's such a beautiful Torah should be sweet. We don't study Torah because we have to study Torah. We should love it. It should be sweet and pleasurable. The Gemara says you only learn things you want to learn, but Torah should be sweet and beautiful. It should be fun. You know, the Gemara says that Rava used to begin every shir with a joke. That's how we get every shir. I was in Rav Shachter shir, Rav Hirsch Shachter for 4 years. Those have heard him speak. He has an amazing sense of humor, and he cracks jokes all the time. I mean, some jokes say, he's got a great, and he's always smiling. He's always joyful. And he used to tell us, you know, there is a debate in the commentaries. Can you only make a joke at the beginning of the shir? Because this idea of COVID rush, of seriousness, the Gemara also extends to learning, and sometimes you also learn with seriousness. Ema yira. So I have how can you tell jokes? But it's always good. Everybody knows a good speaker always begins with a story, with a joke. So Rava says you begin learning Torah with a joke. Question is, can you say jokes in the middle of the shiur? So Rav Schechter would always, he would tell jokes in the middle of the shiur. Just whatever, that's, makes Torah sweet, it makes it beautiful. And I mean, I'm just saying jokes, and it's not exactly the same thing, but the idea is Torah should be enjoyable. And if it's not going to be enjoyable, we're not going to pass it to our children. That's what we say. But Rav Moshe Feinstein very famously said one of the terrible, statements in America, in Judaism, you know, it's a, I don't know any Yiddish. It's somebody can say it in Yiddish properly for me. It's schwer zu sein a Yid. It's hard to be Jewish. You know, oh my God, Shabbos, you came to America, you immigrated. It was hard. It was very hard. So the kids growing up in America, the greeners, the parents came, you know, they didn't speak the language and they were poor and they had to give up their religious beliefs to get a job. It's hard to be Jewish. So no, the kid says, okay, hard to be Jewish. Who wants to be Jewish? I'll throw it out. So they said, you say it's beautiful to be Jewish. It's sweet. It's wonderful. You love it. And if you don't love your Judaism, then there's something wrong with the way you're practicing Judaism. Then maybe in the, and that was the Hasidic approach. The whole Hasidic approach was to have joy and happiness. The origins of Hasidim, the Mitnagdim, as we call them, they were, had a much more, bitter attitude on life. I know bitter is the right word, but it was very difficult. The 16th, 1700s, at the Khmelnytsky massacres, Jews were poor, impoverished, 1800 years of exile. It wasn't pleasant. This happened. We're going to fast for this calamity. And the Hasidim said, we're going to sing and we're going to dance. And, you know, we're going to play down. We're not going to be 100% careful about Jewish law. If it gets in the way of our joy of singing, so we'll say Shema a little later. We'll doesn't matter. But the approach for Harevna, Torah has to be sweet. I've mentioned in other times the introduction of the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal was a Hasidish Rebbe. The Egle Tal was the Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe, Rav Avram Bornstein. He died, I believe, in 1910, maybe a little later. I say that because those who live in Toronto I'm sure everybody lives in Toronto, knows who Rabbi Price was, Rav Avram Price, who taught everybody, who grew up, taught my father, Lama Shalom, everybody who grew up in Toronto at a certain age was a student of Rabbi Price, who was really one of the Gedolim. He was really, he's not so famous, but he was really one of the most learned people around in the world. And he had a yeshiva in Toronto. So Rabbi Price, as a little kid, learned what the Egle Tal. And the Egle Tal was very unusual for a Hasidic Rebbe. Was really a first-rate Torah scholar. The Egle Tal is his commentary on the 39 Melachot on Shabbat. And he writes in his introduction that learning Torah Lishma for the sake of Lishma, for its own purpose, whatever the word Lishma, we'll have to discuss because it's here in the bracha, Yodei Shemech V'lamdei Torah Tacha Lishma, for its own sake, he says that doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it. As some people say, for its own sake, if I get pleasure out of, I'm learning Torah because I love to learn. So, man, I'm not learning it Lishma. I'm not learning it because it's a mitzvah. I'm learning it because I love it. So the Egle Tal says, that's terrible. No, when you love Torah, that's Lishma. I'm learning for the sake, the Lishma, the sake of Torah is the beauty, the sweetness, the love of Torah. It's not the, oh, I'm learning Torah. I don't really like learning Torah, but God, I'm going to do it for your sake. I'm going to learn Torah. No. The attitude should be, we love Torah. Torah is sweet. And that's why the bracha, b'harev na, be sweet. And then we can pass it. Tzeinu, tzeitzeim chabet Yisrael. Different version. In my Siddur, which is the Koran, I don't know which one it is, Nagerman Siddur, that's one I have open now. It says Seitzeinu, but Seitzeinu, when our children's children, but that they put in brackets. I don't know what they have in your Siddur. But Seitzeinu, Chab Beit Yisrael, that's the only way to make it sweet is the only way to pass Torah to your children is by making Torah sweet, by making Torah beautiful. So that's, we say every morning. Now, the other explanation I saw, which is a beautiful explanation, ha'arev na, an arev, and when you learn Gemara, does anybody know what an arev is? It's a Talmudic concept, an arev. So an arev is a guarantor. Yeah. You want to get a mortgage at the bank, and the bank you don't have enough money at 28 years old, and you want $1 million mortgage, so your parents have to sign on a mortgage as a guarantor. So that's an arev, that concept that Gemara discusses greatly, that, that's the way. How do we harav? No, we ask God. The Torah should be a guarantor for us. And how do we make it a guarantor? By making it sweet. That that's how we guarantee Torah. But harav na, Torah should be the guarantee and how to live a proper life. It comes from, you know, it's the person who signs in the background to make sure everything's going to go well. Okay, so that's what we say. But harav na Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Torahcha b'finu, in our mouths. What do you mean in our mouths? It's a funny way. We're in Nitzavim, right? Moshe tells the Jewish people, it's not Me'avir Hayam, it's not Lo Bashamayim He, right? It's not in the sea, it's not in the heavens. B'picha u'bilvavcha lasoto. It's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. When we give tztaka, what's the mitzvah of tztaka? B'toch tiftach et yadcha. You have to open your hand and al tameitz et levavcha. Don't harden your heart. So the heart, but here we stress, we don't mention the heart at all here. We only mention the mouth, because I think when we learn Torah, the Mishnah says you have to articulate Torah. Beficha, we all know when you say something out loud, it's much more, remember it better. The truth of the matter, you have to articulate your davening too, and to a certain degree. We'd say silently, there's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So I know with Shema and Shmona Esrei are different, but the Gemara has one interpretation of Shema, is you have to be shomea. You have to literally hear what you say. You can't say it silently. Mm-hmm. But even the sign Shmoneh Esrei, you can't read the Shmoneh Esrei. We're not allowed to read the Shmoneh Esrei. Your lips have to be moving. How was Chana? Chana, our model of prayer, Rak Sfateha. Only her lips were moving. You couldn't hear her, but you know, you can hear yourself when you daven. So also when you learn, you have to learn it you have to learn out loud. I always say, you know, I used to sit in pre-COVID days, I would sit in the library in chat where I teach and do, you know, a lot of work. And often, you know, I make a little noise, you know, I'm learning, I hum to myself, I sing, you know, I mean, the library is not quite, I tell the librarian, listen, who can learn in a library if it's in a real library where, you know, you're not allowed to say a word. A base medrash is noisy. The basement supposed to be noisy. Okay, you have to respect if people want quiet. But the point is that has to be beficha. Then the Mishnah says, we have to know your name and we have to learn your Torah lishma. So what does that mean? So we say, God, make the Torah sweet in our mouths. We should love it. And in the mouths of all the Jewish people. And we should teach it to our children. It should be sweet and beloved to our children, which it will be if it's we keep it sweet. And kulani yodei shmecha, we all want to know your name. Dilomdei toratcha lishma. Learn Torah for lishma, for its sake. So what does that mean? We want to know God's name. Anybody? So what's God's name? So I did not. So Vayikra b'shem Hashem. You're going to read tomorrow in Shul. Avram comes to the land of Israel. The first thing he does, he builds an altar. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. He calls out on God's name. So the simple explanation is God's name is the Torah. That's, I believe, how the Ramban writes. The Torah is Ishmotav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is God's. The letters of the Torah are Shmotav Shel HaKadosh. I don't know what that means in some Kabbalistic sense. It's the letters of the Torah, the name of God. The Torah is a description of God, which would make sense. We're talking about the mitzvah to learn Torah. Yodei Shemecha means we want to know your name. We want to know Torah. Rav Zevin points out in, all his articles are wonderful. Rav Zevin, who passed away in the late 70s, you know, he had an amazing ability to present difficult concepts in easy to understand language. Mo'adim Balacha, his articles on the holidays. He's the founding editor of Encyclopedia Talmudit, you know, that massive volume where it's putting the entire Talmud in encyclopedic form. So Rav Zevin has an article. He's a master writer, beautiful writer, and he describes the two mitzvot in Torah. There's a mitzvah to study Torah, and there's a mitzvah to know Torah. And they're not the same. They're related, of course. I would say, and I've said this many times, Daf Yomi is an amazing thing for the mitzvah of learning Torah. It's really pretty bad, if I can use that word, for knowing Torah. It's next to impossible, unless you're going to spend 4 hours a day, to go through a daf a day and to know it. You can't know it. But most people wouldn't learn Torah if it wouldn't be for daf yomi. That's why when it started, I'm not here to criticize daf yomi. I think it's amazing what it's done. But we're fooling ourselves if you think that most people who learn daf yomi actually know Torah. They pick up a line here or there, but those are two distinct mitzvot. There's a mitzvah to be engaged in Torah. That's lasok b'divrei Torah, be engaged. It doesn't say to know Torah. The act of study is perhaps more important than knowledge. Perhaps they're both important, but so Kulani, that's Rav Zevin writes. They're two separate mitzvot. When the Gemara says you can fulfill the obligation of studying Torah by saying Shema, you say Shema every day, but you fulfill your obligation to study Torah. The Gemara then says you're not allowed to tell that to ignorant people. So obviously it means I believe you're all not ignorant. The Gemara says you tell that to people. I don't have to learn Torah. I say Shema every day. I learn Torah. And we'll get to in a second. We put in Limud Torah in the Siddur right after this bracha. We'll get there. I see next week, please God. But so that's only the mitzvah to study Torah. To know Torah takes a lot more. So that's one idea. Kulani Yodei Shemecha. To know, but it also means to Yodei Shemecha. It means more than learning Torah. It means trying to understand, to study about God, who God is, what are the attributes of God. So it's connected to the study of Torah. But Lamdei Torah Techa Lishma, we'll have to pick up next week what exactly means to study Torah Lishma. As I alluded to, I began the discussion, but it can include, and maybe even it has to include, Torah being fun and enjoyable and sweet. Okay, just to quickly review a little bit what we discussed today, and then I'll take any questions. We discussed that you have to have a kovod rosh. You have to prepare for tefillah. And some people prepared for an hour for tefillah. And if they did that then perhaps even if a snake or a king was talking to them, they wouldn't even notice. They don't stop. Of course, the mission means you shouldn't stop. Of course, if your life is in danger, yes. But I mean, you're so intense. Your intensity is so great you don't even notice. The great king, from the king to the snake, and then we can thought the idea that the snake is the symbol and the successor of making man separate from God, getting us kicked out of Gan Eden. So Akavo, even if the snake is on your akev, as it says in the Torah, in Gan Eden, that's how the story ends. Prayer is trying to repair what the Nachash had done to us. Okay, we finished up the bracha of Asher Yatzar. We talked about the notion of Birchat Hashavach. We showed the Gemara says you may even make a bracha before you enter the bathroom, the wonders of the body. And we discussed all the brachot, where you say brachot afterwards, and those are the brachot of praise to God, not the brachot of mitzvah or getting pleasure from this world. And we discussed the two different versions, how it should end, and then we introduced the topic of Birchat HaTorah and what it means. Why do we say Birchat HaTorah on all forms of Torah, which is what we do, or maybe only on what God gave us directly, or maybe how we interpret the Torah. And then we started going through the brachot, la'asok b'divrei Torah, to be engaged like abysmal, to confront Torah, the different opinions, the give and take. The oral law is supreme over the written law, and that's why la'asok comes before Asher Brach Arbanu and making Torah sweet. We'll continue next week. Maybe next week we'll begin with didn't get there, obviously, the amazing Gemara to discuss, and you can think about it, maybe. The Gemara says the reason the temple was destroyed was because the Jewish people didn't say Birchat HaTorah. You know, the Gemara has about 15 different reasons why the temple was destroyed, which means, of course, they have no idea why the temple was destroyed, because that's not their interest. I discussed this on Tisha B'Av. The temple was destroyed because the Romans, the Romans wanted to take over, and But of course, when the rabbis say Sinat Chinam, the most famous one, Sinat Chinam, where they not leave Mishur Adin, different Gemaras, they're talking to their people, right? The idea is, what do we have to learn from the destruction of the temple? And of course, when a society is weak internally, it gets, it's easy for the external enemies to take over, of course. We have to develop that much more. But the Gemara in Nedarim has this unbelievable idea, the quote from Yirmiyahu, it's the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av morning. Why is this happening? Azvu at Torati, they left my Torah. So the Gemara interprets that. One interpretation is they didn't make Birchat HaTorah. So we'll pick up on that next week. I think if you see that Gemara in context, it's a very powerful Gemara, obviously, and we'll discuss that discuss next week. Okay, if anybody has any questions, let me just quickly see if there's anything in the chat box. Now you can unmute yourself. Okay, Boker Tov, don't think our present monarch would take offense. I'm not sure what that is in reference to. Does Usher Yetzer, somebody said, need to be said, you know, standing? I don't believe so. I don't think so. The question is, can I say it's walking, whether that, you know, I walk out of the bathroom and I say, my lips move. It's like autopilot. So I don't know if that's so good either, but, you know, that's what happens. Where would I find in Sidur? I don't know what that is. Baruch Dayan Emet. Where you find? No, I'm not sure what. Osama said Breshit. You're talking about Birchat Hashav. Baruch Dayan Emet is, it's hard to say it's a bracha of praise. The Gemara says you have to do it. It's not really a bracha of praise. It's a bracha of acknowledgement that even we'll, I don't know when, but at some point, the ninth chapter in Brachot lists all the brachot you say for all these, like, one-off occasions, like it includes thunder, lightning, new clothes, you buy a new house, you make a bracha, you inherit money. I always loved that bracha one of my favorite halachot, when a parent dies, so, and they're rich and you inherit $1 million. So you say Baruch Dayan Emet. Baruch, you have to make the very, very tragic bracha. And then you make a Shechayanu. I'm a millionaire. You're happy. So I think that's such a brilliant insight of the rabbis. Can you imagine if you on your own would say, yeah, you have to make, if you win a lottery, you win a lot of money, you have to say a bracha. But to say a bracha because your parent dies and that's how you got all the money, that's disgusting. How can you do that? Oh my gosh. But we know our sages understood psychologically. It doesn't mean, of course, God forbid one is happy a parent dies, but when a parent dies and the kid gets $1 million, he's happy as $1 million. Who are we kidding here? And, but for the kid to express that would be terrible. So the rabbis insisted you express that. So the rabbis ordained a bracha. It's not the kid on my own, right? That's, we have like a low plug, lahabdil. That's like when you get married. So everybody has to sign a prenup. Ah, you're not going to get a divorce. What do I need a prenup for? No, it's got to be universal. Or you say, well, the mikra bikurim, right? The Kohen had to say word for year for you, not to embarrass people who didn't know. The guy's a Rosh Hashiva. Well, he knows it by heart. No, because you can't make any distinction. Everybody's got to be the same so as not to embarrass those who don't know. So the Gemara has this bracha. You say Baruch Dayan Amet. And then you follow that with a shechin. It's unbelievable psychological insight into human nature. But I would not call Baruch Dayan Emet a Birchat HaShevach, I don't think. Okay, before you wear new clothes, somebody's saying, a lot of people sending me private. That's okay. Benching Gomel is after the fact necessarily, of course, yes. But that is a Birchat HaShevach. It's not a mitzvah, and you're not getting any benefit. Birchat HaGomel is to thank God. Birchat HaShevach. And of course, for practical reasons, has to be said after the fact. Okay. I don't see anything. Oh, else, please keep muted. Engage. Okay. All right. Okay. I suppose the Shver Zizayin Yid, Ashreinu Matov Kalkeinu. Thank you very much. The private message, Ashreinu. We should thank God. Torah is beautiful. Torah is sweet. And it's true. You have to love Torah. And that's the idea. You have to sing. The Gemara in Megillah will end with this. The last passage in Megillah on Purim. Then Masechet Megillah, I think it's the last or the second last statement. Kol Olomei Belo Zimra. I remember the exact language of the Gemara, but if you study Torah without song, it's like the Gemara has terrible thing. It's terrible. You're destroying Torah. You have to sing. Everybody knows, you know, the sing song of study. You should sing, and we're always happy when we sing. Even sad songs, we tend to be a little happier. Singing brings joy. And so if you learn Torah, Torah should be sweet. That's the Birchat HaTorah. Okay, we'll discuss, I'm going to take us, I don't know how long it's going to take us to go through the whole Seder, but there's a lot to discuss, and please God, we'll continue as long as people are interested. Okay, Mr. Zucker, yes, you want to, and then Irene asks afterwards. Yes, question.
I don't understand you. Did you say it? Asher Yatzar, it doesn't give Shem Hashem?
I said in the Talmud that it said Baruch Asher Yatzar. So the fact that the Talmud says Baruch and Asher Yatzar could be, not necessarily, could be that it means you said it without Shem Hashem, without the name of God. When the... I'm sorry?
My art scroll.
We of course no. The practice of everybody say with God's name. I just wanted to show you the origins, how things flowed from the Talmud. You saw like Birchat HaTorah. This one said this. So clearly, in the time of the Talmud, they didn't say all three. I mentioned already in both weeks, the Siddur has gone under more change than any other of our rituals. So we'll say all of them. Rav Hamanuna in the 4th century says, let's say all of them. But before him, they didn't say all of them. They had this practice, they had that practice, this different thing. We don't, things develop over time, but it could be, but it's not really important. I really have to look in the commentaries there in the Gemara. I didn't look it up in detail now, but just interesting to note, the Gemara says Baruch Asher Yatzar, and it doesn't say Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Right. That's just interesting. Yeah, Irene, what would you like?
I said the point about, I was being tongue in cheek. I meant our monarch, Queen Elizabeth, will not execute us for getting.
Oh, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
No. She's a religious. Okay.
She actually quite likes the Jewish community. She's got a sense of humor.
Jonathan Sachs, I think, had a greater influence. I mean, he was very close they like it. Listen, it's very.
Yeah, Prince William is the best. He went to Israel.
When the Mishnah is talking about king,
I know. I was only being.
Baruch Hashem, we live in democracies and we have tremendous relations by and large. You know, yes, there's anti-Semitism in the world, but compared to what it was, it's still the best time in history to be a Jew is now. Maybe 20 years ago was better. I don't know, but you all know what I mean. We wouldn't want to trade this generation for any other time, despite all the problems we have. And with a flourishing state of Israel, nothing's perfect. I mean, now we're making peace with the Arab world. And who would have thought that would be true? And please God, one day with the Palestinians, unexpectedly, they'll come, you know, we'll reach an agreement. That would be beautiful. That would be beautiful. Okay. Any other comments? Otherwise, we wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. And thank you very much. We'll see you next week. And as I mentioned, next week we're going to start. It starts our regular schedule. Next class, of course, is Rabbi Liebtag on the number 7 on Sunday. Monday is on translation and transmission of Torah with Rabbi Lindsay Guhartz, who you know, Irene, right? You know her personally? Irene, I don't know. I don't know if you know, but she's from England.
No, my daughter knows her. But the thing is, this whole math.
But it's not important. Yeah.
I look forward because I'm a translator of Bible myself. So I'm really looking forward.
She's going to give a 7-part series. Yeah. And then on Wednesday, Dr. Sokolow will resume his Wednesday night shiur on how Tanakh was put together. Monday night, of course, Mark Shapiro continuing his series on Joe Lieberman. Tuesday, Rachel Danziger, Sharansky on relationships in Genesis. Where we are, and then Wednesday. Right, I just mentioned Wednesday, and Thursday, of course, no class for Shuli Mishkan this week because she's marrying off her son, as I mentioned. So we'll have the class a week later, and then Thursday night, the Parsha Shir is Rabbi Blackman from Australia. He spoke last year once, so he'll be speaking on Friday morning. It'll be Thursday night, 8:30 here, but it'll be 10:30 in the morning in Melbourne. So I'm not sure if he's in Melbourne or Sydney. But okay, we look forward to learning with everybody. And have a wonderful Shabbat.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbat. Okay, bye-bye.
Rabbi Jay?
Yes?
Can I just ask you something?
Sure.
Yeah, I think the Gemara says when you go into the bathroom, you say Baruch, and it doesn't say At Hashem.
Right.
I think that's deliberate because...
Of course, but it's the coming out. It's the coming out. It also doesn't say.
Oh, look at the Gemara.
Right, it's both. Yes, the going in, we don't even say the bracha to go in at all. We've taken that out. We don't do that. But it's the coming out. It also says Baruch Asher Yatzar. It doesn't say a show. Now, it could be it just doesn't say it. And the Gemara meant it. I really have to look that up. I don't know. But I just find it, that could be a printer who did that and has nothing to do with, you know, anything. But anyways, I point that out. I should really look it up a little more. Please.
Well, I think the reason why it's leaving it out is because they don't want you to say Hashem's name in the bathroom.
Yes, of course. But Asher Yetzer said after you leave the washroom, after you wash your hands and you leave, then you can make the bracha. Obviously, we do have that bracha. You know, we do make it. So
yeah, but when you're going in, it said also to make it.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I don't know. I have to look. I have to check. Yeah, I hear. Okay. Anyways, okay. Any other questions? Otherwise, okay. It's, I don't want to say it's almost Shabbos, but depending on where you live, but okay. All right. Have a wonderful day. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbos.